All right, this is our second to last series on holiday matters, things pertaining to the holidays. Next week we are going to, is this a five Sunday month? This is not our second to last. This is our third to last, I guess, because we have two more Sundays. Next week we'll be, of course, talking about the birth of Christ. And then I'll probably do a New Year's sermon. I haven't done a New Year's sermon in a while, so I'll probably do a New Year's sermon. The interesting thing about these topics, and we talked about this last week with the birth of Christ songs, calling them the birth of Christ songs because that's what they're about, right? Is that these are not topics generally that should be reserved for one time of year. But I'm going to talk about them because this is when people are thinking about them. But generosity, we're going to talk about generosity, giving and receiving today, is not just something for December, right? It's a thing that we should be doing all the time. Now, during the holidays, culturally encouraged, how many Christmas commercials do you think you've seen in your life? Oh, man. You think it's surely thousands of commercials about stuff to buy for people? Now, really, the commercials, they want you to buy for other people, but really, they just want you to spend money with them, right? That's what it's about. It's about buy our thing instead of their thing. And so we have a culture of sort of built up this be generous, which is inherently, I guess, a good thing, right? We want to be generous. We want to be gift givers to people. But it's just like this 6-week period or 8-week period, as we talked about Christmas creep. But the concept of generosity, this is not something that really Scripture reserves. One time of year, that's when you should think about giving stuff to people. That's just not how Scripture operates. Scripture is not reserving a particular idea of generosity for just 1 6-week period. So it's good to think about being generous, and I'm glad we think about being generous. But I am a little bit worried that we sort of get all of the generosity out of our system in these 6 weeks, and then we go back to being Scrooges, right? That's sort of the attitude that we have. Now, these are concepts that most of us have to work at, because I think the natural inclination is to be a Scrooge, right? That's the natural thing. Who doesn't love getting stuff? There are some people. We'll talk about you in a minute. But the natural inclination is to want to receive more than give. That is the natural thing. And you know how I know that? Because I look at my kids. They never want to give the other kid a toy. What do they want? They want the other kid to give them a toy. That's how it is, people. And one of the primary jobs as parents is, I got to figure out how to train Gideon not to be that way, right? That's what we're trying to do as parents, overcome inclination to want to get more than give. That's what we're trying to do, because that is the natural inclination. Now, Jesus apparently taught about this subject in the manner of the Beatitudes. I say apparently, this is one of the few times, there are a couple, this is one of the few times where you're going to see if you have a red letter Bible, you're going to see the red letters outside of the Gospels. There's a lot in Revelation. There's a couple in 1 Corinthians, I think. But things that were not taught necessarily in the Gospels, we don't read them in the Gospels, but that the apostles later on are recalling, or the prophets later on are recalling, Jesus said these things, right? And Acts 20 is a classic example of this. This text, it is more blessed to give than to receive, not recorded in the Gospels. It's not something we're told that Jesus said in the Gospels, but it is as Paul is remembering, as he's given inspiration of the Spirit, he's remembering the things that Jesus taught. And again, John is very clear, right? If all the things that Jesus did and said were written down, I suppose the world could not contain the book, right? So there's more stuff that Jesus obviously said and taught other than what's in the Gospels. And this is one of those things. Acts 20, verse 32. Now I commend you to God and to the words of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who are with me. In all things, I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, in this context, Paul's, of course, referring to his work with the Ephesian church. That Paul had done a lot of things with the Ephesian church, and what is he saying? I didn't rely on you. I didn't want to be a burden to you. I worked hard to supply what I needed for myself so that you would not have to. And he's using this point of Jesus. I did that. Why did Paul do that? So that I could give to you. give not only my time, but my energy and my effort, and of course, ultimately the teaching that he spent with them. But this is a universal concept, right? And given in the manner of the Beatitudes, this idea of blessed are, you read in Matthew 5, right, the Beatitudes, blessed are those who whatever, blessed are whatever, and then of course he says why they're blessed. This is the same word there, fortunate or happy are those who, and in this context, what? It is more blessed or happy or fortunate to give than to receive. And like the Beatitudes, this involves a shift in the way we think about things towards spiritual thinking. And you think about the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the meek, blessed are those who are persecuted, right? He's taking these things that the world would consider, no, that's not the way it is, that's not the way it should be. And Jesus says, no, it is that way. It's the way that you don't think it should be, that's the way it is. This is what he's doing here, right? What makes giving a fortunate, happy, or blessed thing? 1 Timothy 6, 17 through 19, and we read this quite a bit in our discussion about a month ago maybe in Sunday morning Bible class. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, only 1 month out of the year. Of course, that's not in there. I've added that, right? That was a trick of Loy's. It's not just one time of year, right? This that he's talking about here is as long as you are ready to do it whenever the opportunity arises. And then if an opportunity arises in March, you need to be ready in March, right? Thus storing up treasure for themselves is a good foundation for the future, that they may take hold of that which is truly life. Now, what does sharing do for the generous? In this text, we see a number of different things, but we're going to see the same theme as we go through. Storing up for themselves treasure somewhere else, a good foundation for the future. Now, not thinking about your 401k or your stock investments, what good future is he talking about? Ultimately, eternity, right? That's what he's thinking about here. Not anything so mundane as your savings portfolio, but the future that will be in eternity. And that's why he says at the end there, right? That which is truly life. Not the physical, temporary life here, but the eternal, never-ending spiritual life. And how do we take hold of that? At least in parts, is by being generous. Remembering that this stuff here is not really what it's about. So if I have this stuff to share with those who are in need, I should be ready and willing and generous to do so, because I know that this stuff is not really the point. So if I can give it to other people, sure, I'm going to do that to be a blessing to other people. I'm going to be ready to do so. And of course, we obviously see the connection at the beginning here, right? What's the point? God did that first. He's the one who was generous first, right? He richly provides us with everything to enjoy. If we want to be like God, then what? We need to be generous. That's sort of the point here. Galatians 6, 6 through 10, let the one who has taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. This idea of being mocked, we'll come back to it. Whatever one sows, that which he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those who are of the household of faith. A number of ideas here. Again, a transformation in the way that we think about physical things and physical existence, right? Sowing to the flesh. That would be preparing for the things of this life that I'm storing up and I'm gathering and I'm accumulating material, physical stuff. And what's the result going to be? More material, physical stuff. Well, great, you got more material stuff. Hooray for you. But what are you not reaping then? The spiritual, right? The eternal, the things that matter for eternity, that's what you're not going to get. If all you're thinking about is the physical, then yeah, that's what you're going to get. Those things that are corrupt and temporary, the things that will go away, as opposed to, of course, the things that will be eternal. Now let's return to the God is not mocked here. What does this have to do with God being mocked? I think what we're thinking about here is we're trying to trick God, right? That I'm going to get all the good stuff from God without having to give in return. And I'm going to just sort of treat God like this magical vending machine, and I'm going to get all the good stuff, and I'm not going to have to give anything up. And what does he say? God is not mocked. God's not stupid. It's not like you're going to trick him. It's not like you're going to game the system with God, right? There's no manipulating the system. Be generous, ready for, and I like what he says at the end there again, as we have opportunity, do good to everyone, being ready to satisfy those opportunities. Now, should this attitude only be present in our lives for part of the year? Yes, if you have opportunity this time of year, then do so, which you do. But again, if you have opportunity whenever there is need, ready to be, what does he say in the previous verse? Being generous and ready to share at any opportunity. So, there could be another problem. Let's turn this around then. Look at the other end of this, because this is a sermon about giving and receiving. Some people are not very good at receiving. Have you ever known anyone like this? Maybe they, it makes them feel uncomfortable. It makes them feel awkward. Maybe you're like this, and you just don't like to get help or gifts or whatever, and it makes you feel weird. Have you ever known anyone who was a bad receiver? You tried to give them something, and they somehow didn't respond very well. They didn't make you feel encouraged about what you were doing to help them. They didn't make you feel good about how you were trying to be a blessing to them, and maybe they rejected it altogether, or maybe they made you feel awkward. Why would you give it to me and not so-and-so or not somebody else? Have you ever known anyone who was that way, who was a bad receiver of gifts? I hope not, because they're very discouraging, aren't they? People like this are very discouraging. They never respond appropriately to the gifts. They never want help or generosity. Maybe they made you feel foolish or awkward for trying to share with them. If you're one of these people, shame on you. Now, we'll talk about why. The joy of giving, we know, does not rely upon the recipient. Obviously, there is joy that comes from giving just in the inherent act of giving itself. But I do think the joy of giving can be enhanced by how the recipient responds, can't it? It can be increased. You can have some amount of joy just from the act of giving itself, but the way that a person responds to the gift can greatly increase your joy in doing so. Fundamentally, people who can't receive with gladness might be struggling with pride. This is the problem. It's not necessarily a problem if you want other people to be helped, but if you are too prideful to receive help from others, I hate to break it to you, but you ultimately had to have help from others in any part of your life. If you are just a person, you're born the normal way, if you don't receive help from your parents, what? You die. That's it. You die. You as a person could not even have life without the gift of God, right? Who graciously gives everything to enjoy. Even let's bring it into our adult lives. If you're in this room and you're trying to be a Christian, you're trying to follow God, then you have inherently admitted your need for help. Because you could not save yourself. You could not do that by yourself. You are not good enough. You just aren't. You needed God. You still do need God. So as part of this idea, part of the problem, or not problem, part of the acceptance of Christianity is the removal of pride, understanding I'm not what it's about. It's not all about me. It's not all about how great I am. And we can have this struggle in receiving gifts. We're going to look at a passage in Philippians 4, 10 through 20. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you were revived in your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. How many times have we seen the idea of opportunity in this discussion? You had no opportunity to what? To satisfy that concern, to fulfill that thing that you wanted to do. Now, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound in every and any circumstance. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. The Philippians wanted to help Paul in his ministry, right? That's what he's saying. You were concerned for me. Concerned what? concerned that I would have food, perhaps, concerned that I would have what I need, concerned that I would be able to continue doing the work, concerned that I would be able to continue preaching. And what? They were looking for opportunity. They were being ready to share. They were being generous. They wanted to help Paul. And what does Paul say here? Now, he knows, obviously, that he could succeed regardless, and that's what he's saying here at the end, right? I can do all things through him who strengthens me. But the question is, how would God strengthen him? Because that help comes in a number of ways. And I think what we see here is that, yes, we know we can succeed through God, but it is often other people that are going to be the mechanism by which God strengthens us, right? Raise your hand if you've received help from somebody in this room. That was God doing this, right? That he was strengthening you to, in whatever circumstance, overcome. But often it is through other people. Yet it was kind of you to share in my trouble. You Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving, except you only. Philippians, you were doing this thing. You were sharing. You were being generous. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit, the Philippians' credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Why do you think this text is in the Bible? This is an odd text, to be sure. It's very much a personal thing about Paul and his relationship with the Philippians. Obviously, in any text, we're trying to figure out what is God saying to us? What is God trying to teach us? But at the original writing of this text, it was about Paul and the Philippians. And what was Paul trying to do in this text? Don't you think he was trying to encourage the Philippians? To strengthen the Philippians? By what? By graciously, gratefully receiving their gift. Isn't that what he's doing here? I'm thankful that you have helped me time and time again. You have helped me. You were looking for an opportunity to do so. You wanted to share your concern with me. And it was good of you, kind of you, to share in my trouble. And I have received the things you've sent. And what is he ultimately saying here? It is not just for me, but for what? Your gift is going to help the spread of the gospel. Why this text is in here is an encouragement to those who gave, right? And the opposite question we might ask, what if Paul had refused their generosity? What if he had refused the Philippians' concern or kindness? What do you think that would have done to the Philippians? How do you think they would have reacted? Oh, I guess Paul doesn't need us. I guess we're not good enough for Paul. The money had to come from somewhere. He had to eat, right? He needed things for the body. That had to come from somewhere. And Paul, I think, is giving us a good example of how to graciously receive help. Understanding that, yes, sometimes we do. In being gracious, thankful receivers, we have an opportunity to bless the giver, to be a blessing to them. Everyone wants to be useful, to feel like their contributions and their help was beneficial, right? You want to feel that way. And you, as the recipient of help, have a great opportunity to either encourage or discourage those who are helping you. Conversely, no one likes feeling like their effort was meaningless or ignored. Thus, don't let your pride get in the way of allowing others to bless you and thus be blessed in return. Don't let that be a thing that you do. Don't be a discourager in the way that you refuse the gifts that others are offering to you. And it might be Christmas gifts, but it might be something else, because Christmas is only 6 weeks out of the year, right? It might be something that happens in June or March or April or wherever. The help that we want to give other people. If you are one who is receiving a gift and a blessing from someone else, receive that graciously and with thanksgiving, knowing that that will be an encouragement to the one who gives. So yes, during the holidays, take opportunity to be generous and to be gracious, especially on Christmas, as you're thinking about opening all the gifts that have been waiting there under the tree, and it just is so maddening. What could it possibly be? Yes, be generous, be gracious, but in January, don't leave that behind. Maybe you're not going to buy the same sorts of gifts in January, but you could still have the same attitude of thinking, what would be helpful to somebody else? What's something that I could do for somebody else? What's something that I could give to somebody else? What is a way that I could be a blessing to somebody else? That attitude, which we hone, some people are really good at it, others are not so good. We hone this ability to give gifts for this one period of time. Use that ability then throughout the year. Maybe not on the things that you buy at Christmas, but seeking opportunity. And again, that word opportunity. That what? Paul says that we, as we have opportunity, be gracious and generous. He says to be willing and ready to share. He tells of the Philippians, what the Philippians were looking for an opportunity to share in the work with Paul. Now, we're going to end with Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Ultimately, the point here, right? Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Ultimately, the danger of this holiday is that we lose the focus on the spiritual and store up treasure on earth. And I'm going to be thinking about all the things I'm going to get and all the stuff I'm going to get and all the awesome things that is going to be mine. And what? I'm thinking about this earth. Which ultimately, I shouldn't say every, because I don't know what kind of gifts you're going to get. 99% of the gifts that you're going to receive in a couple weeks will break. They'll get lost. Maybe you'll accidentally back over them with a car, as you do with kids' toys out in the yard. Something's going to happen to them. I don't know. They'll go away in some way, won't they? And isn't that his point here, right? All material things will end. So we need to be very careful about what we care about. What are the things that matter to us? And that applies in both our generosity and in our receptiveness. That in I'm thinking about the gifts that I'm giving to people, I'm thinking about how this is going to affect them spiritually. How can I help somebody be closer to God? How can I help somebody have a better relationship with Him? And sometimes that is going to be material things, don't get me wrong. But if my care is all about the material, then what? I'm going to stop thinking about the spiritual. It is more blessed to give than to receive, primarily because giving is what accomplishes this. It is in giving that we demonstrate that I know you are the treasure. The person that I'm giving to is the treasure. Because you be eternal, right? You're going to be eternal. And my goal is not to hold on to the stuff, but to help you. You who I know hopefully will be with me in heaven. So as we think about this holiday, man, Christmas is awesome, isn't it? I just love Christmas so much. But think about how you can apply these things the rest of the year. And maybe you're sitting in this room and you're not quite sure what it means to have a relationship with Jesus. Allow me to give you the gift of the gospel. There is salvation for your sins. Maybe you're sitting in this room and you just feel horrible about the things you've done. Maybe you've done some really terrible stuff. I don't know. There's forgiveness for that, isn't there? There's redemption for that in the gift of God's Son. As we think about ultimately the ultimate gift giver, Jesus, who came as a gift from the Father, who gave His life for us so that we would have salvation and redemption. That is the gift to follow. That is the model gift giving, to give of oneself for another, as He did for us.